At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome in to A Hard Knocks Life. I'm Jeff Berkus. On the other side of the screen is Ryan Drosty. Ryan, welcome to episode 4 recap of Hard Knocks Life. I'm going to call this the all underdog episode.
That is for sure. That's for sure. Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff. I've been looking forward to this ever since, we scheduled these out ever since episode 1. So I've had episode 4 circled on my calendar for a while now. So I've been ready to go. I'm sorry
you got the downer episode. Not that I could have known this, but that's what happened here. I think there was a lot of kind of sad stuff. And then, of course, today is the actual day where we know the roster cuts. And so there was plenty of, there's plenty of drama that's happening on the screen. And then if you follow the Bears as closely as we do, you know the outcomes. So you may be watching it with somebody who's not looking at roster cutdowns, and they may be looking over at you and saying, did he make the team? Did he, and you know things, and you're like, oh, do I tell this person? Do I tell my wife what happened here? But, yeah. Let me ask you, before we get into the categories, we'll recap everything, and I think we're going to have a very long first category, but what's your relationship with Hard Knocks? Is this something that you watch annually, or are you just kind of tuning in because it's the Bears?
I got to tell you, I've actually never watched it before until this past offseason. I did watch the New York Giants one, the offseason with the Giants, kind of to prep for the Bears. It was one of those things where I always – like had it on the list to watch, and then I would never get around to actually watching it. And it's just one of those things that's always been there all those years. I'm like, all right, I'll get around to watching it at some point. And I just never had. And then with the Bears finally added to the rotation, I was like, all right, I need to watch some of this to see what I'm in for. And so yeah, I watched the Giants one and really liked that. But I mean, obviously training camp's a whole different deal. So the first time I've watched one of the training camp, kind of the legacy version of Hard Knocks.
Right. Yeah. The offseason version of the Giants is very much a football nerd stuff where it's all about general managers and the draft and free agency and kind of going through how they're making decisions and a lot of negotiations and a lot of high fives from guys in suits. This is, getting back to the roots of Hard Knocks and, guys wearing sweatsuits in 90 degree weather, which I've never understood how, like, once you get a whistle around your neck, apparently you have to start wearing like sweatsuits in the middle of the summer. I don't know how those guys survive. Like, I need shorts and short sleeves. And like, I don't understand it, but that's the coaching life apparently.
Well, 2 weeks ago I did the show with you and Lester about going to training camp. And that was one of the things I noticed, was like, how are these guys out here in hoodies? And then in tonight's episode, we'll talk about it. But when Rome went to the grocery store, like, why is he wearing a stocking hat? It's got to be 90 degrees outside. What's going on right now?
I mean, some of these professional athletes have such low body fat that I assume that some of that, or maybe they want to keep their muscles warm, or like maybe there's something going on with that. The athletes, I'm going to kind of give a pass to. It's the coaches and the general manager. Like, it's the middle of the summer, man. How are you wearing a sweatshirt? I do not understand it. Like, that's those things are packed away. Those things they don't even see the light of day until at least late September, probably into October in my house. So I don't understand the mentality of what happens there.
Yeah, no, same. I noticed that with the coaching staff at camp too.
It's that's a football guyism. We could maybe like save that for football guyism. Is like could. Coaches wearing that. But we're gonna kick off the categories here. So we're gonna do our Orphan Annie Award. This is for the best underdog moment, and it is pretty much the whole show. That was pretty, like, it basically followed all these underdogs into different situations. So, what stuck out to you? Maybe what was a contender? Like, where do you want to go with this one?
I mean, for me, I was taking notes during the episode, and it was definitely between Ian Wheeler and Adrian Colbert. You know, I was between those two back and forth. I didn't know the story about Adrian and the bike story and getting hit by the lady going 55 miles per hour when he was 9 years old and all of that. That was insane. So when I heard that story, it's like, I might lean into him because we haven't really heard about him, you know, on the show. And then, I mean, they kept coming back to Ian Wheeler. He's been such a star on the show, you know, so far. And it just seemed he got a lot of airtime tonight. And then, of course, with the injury and everything, and you couldn't help but want to see this guy succeed. You know, we did that article on Windy City Gridiron last week, I think it was, where we talked about which guys kind of on the bubble do you want to see make the roster. And he was my pick. I really wanted to see him make the roster. And he didn't really, but he, you know, kind of in a roundabout way, as we'll talk about, you know.
Well, it's maybe we can handle that here. The end of the episode had him, you know, obviously he's hurt. You know, he's going to go undergo surgery. He's in Ryan Poles' office and, you know, he's explaining like, hey, we're going to put you on IR. But you're going to be around on the team. We want you here. You know, we want you to heal up. We want you to be engaged. You get to take the mental reps. And then next year you get another crack at it. Right. Mm-hmm. But he's like, you're part of this team. You're with this team. And so, you know, is that an indication that he was going to make the active roster? Is that an indication that he was going to, you know, be brought back on the practice squad if he was cut? Was that an indication that, you know, in some ways, like Ryan Poles didn't have to make a hard decision? Like, that's it's a terrible situation. It's a terrible injury for him to have right at the cusp of, you know, the last preseason game and to find out what his NFL future is. But, you know, did you get a sense one way or the other of from that conversation? Like, did you think he was going to make the team?
I kind of did. And then especially when I looked at the roster, you know, that came out today, I feel like he would have got that last running back spot, you know, personally. I mean, no offense to Travis Homer, but I feel like he would have broken in there. And I think the fact that they want to keep him around, you know, that conversation Poles had with them, I got to say, I was not expecting this episode to be so emotional. You know, I mean, it was a very emotional episode, and that conversation in particular. And, you know, how he tried to keep his head up, and you're going to hang around, keep studying the playbook, you know, keep your eye on the ball, don't get content, all of that. You know, I mean, it could just be GM speak, but I just kind of felt like it was a real conversation and he really wants him around because he wants this guy to have another shot at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I got that too. So you're giving the Annie Award this week to Wheeler.
Yeah.
I think you could have talked about the quarterbacks. They followed the backup quarterbacks. Looks like they had like a boy's day out. Like that was kind of interesting. And then of course I had Wheeler written down as well, but for me, I actually wanted to give it to Colbert. I didn't know the story about the accident. Seems like an interesting guy. You know, I'm not one that has any idea about like the crystals or the noise thing. There's always some kind of
sound bowl.
Yeah. I didn't know what a sound bowl was before tonight, but you know, he had a couple big plays. Yeah, they showed the big play in practice, and then he had a couple big plays in the game. He had that crazy, you know, free safety, you know, center fielder moment where he you know, got back late and was able to make the pass breakup, prevented a big touchdown pass. And then he had the hit that led to the Reddy Stewart pick six. And so he had two really big plays in the game. Now we know that he was cut. I think that the Bears probably will bring him back on a practice squad if they're able to do that. But 10 teams in 8 years, you know, having that life experience, that near death experience as a young kid and being told, obviously you're not going to play football again. And he has hung around, right? He's hung around professional football for 8 years. Even if you've been through 10 teams, who cares? Like, it is impressive that you have continued to fight and be on rosters and be on practice squads and whatever. Like, that's really admirable. And I thought that was the epitome of the Annie Award, of the underdog role, is this journeyman guy who's, you know, still fighting and trying to chase his dream.
Yeah. No, I like it. He was 1A and he was 1B for me if, you know, Ian was 1A. I mean, those two, I think it had to be one of the two. And yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I really liked learning about that story. Had no idea. I mean, honestly, didn't know a whole lot about his career. I had to kind of look it up and see where he had been. And I don't think I even realized he had appeared in two games for the Bears a couple of years ago. So, I mean, yeah, he's been around Chicago a little bit, San Francisco, Miami. He's made the rounds But yeah, I mean, when you hear that story about his childhood, how could you not root for this guy? So that, yeah, that was emotional too. It was pretty interesting.
I mean, just like a moment, there's a guy like him who has been around an NFL roster for a long time and he's grinding it out and he's doing all this stuff. And there are going to be some people in the world that are going to be like, you know, you couldn't even stick with the team. Like they're always negative of these professional athletes. And it's like any one of us would have traded our playing career for that level of success, right? Yeah. To be able to be around the game for that long is so impressive. And just like, yes, you're on the border, you're on the cusp, but so what? Like it's really impressive to keep fighting and be relevant. And, you know, we talk a lot about the stars and that's, you know, it's a star driven league. And we talk about these guys that really drive teams, but you know, football in that the professional level is 1 through 53 plus 17, right? Like it's guys on that practice squad that are helping you out throughout the year. There's so many injuries that happen. So you have to have those, like the big practice squads to be able to pull from there. They don't just go home and sit on the couch. Like they're making your team better. They don't make a lot of money. They're still practicing all the time. They're putting in all this work. And this is part of why I really like Hard Knocks, is because it does elevate some of the stories of the underdogs that you really would never get a chance to hear about otherwise.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well said. I mean, what you're saying about him getting around the league and stuff, 10 teams doesn't matter. The dude has appeared in 41 games over the course of all those years. I mean, how many people who have ever walked planet Earth have appeared in 41 NFL games? You know, like it's a minuscule amount. So regardless if he's on the bubble to make these teams all these years, he's coming through. He's doing it. He's appeared in a lot of professional football games. And like you said, I think the Bears are probably going to keep him around. We'll find out soon. But I would be shocked if he's not on the practice squad.
I would trade a lot to have appeared in one NFL game.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the Jay-Z Award, the coolest moment. I actually didn't, it's a rough episode, right? It's a sad episode. There's a lot of things that were emotional and, you know, again, really focusing on the underdogs here, but was there anything that you thought was particularly cool? I definitely have an answer here, but I want to hear if you have anything.
So you're right. This was really difficult. I mean, as I was watching, I had this, I think more than any of the, maybe best soundbite of the ones we're going to talk about, this was one of those awards where I'm like, God, what am I going to pick tonight? You know, Ian Wheeler's karaoke moment was pretty good, but I don't want to hand every award to Ian Wheeler here. So I feel like I got to go somewhere else, but it was pretty cool seeing him get ready. We didn't see this with the other guys. We've seen this every week, you know, with the rookie music performances, but we saw with him, you know, how he was rehearsing with Chad Morton and Jennifer King in advance, and they're like, you got to come through, and he gets the smoke machine out there and everything. It was cool. I'm gonna go, it's more of a quote, but okay. After that Chiefs game, Austin Reed on the field with the rest of the backups where he's like, you know, they talk about the legendary teams in this league, they talk about the Patriots, bro, they talk about the Legion of Boom, the 85 Bears, but now they're going to talk about the 24 preseason Bears. And then everyone like erupted. That was pretty funny. That was pretty cool. I'll throw Austin Reed a bone and I'll go with him.
I like it. You're moving. You're stepping on good soundbite, but I like that you're moving it up to the coolest moment, because it was funny. And yeah. You know, he's got a little personality, right? Like he's been a good ride throughout this. For me, it was the high rise building with the quarterbacks. Ooh, and they step out on that clear enclosure, the plexiglass enclosure. Now, I'm not good with heights, and I'm not good with, like, I don't want to be up on a step ladder, like, you know, up on a ladder, an extension ladder, right? A step ladder is fine, but like an extension ladder, I get a little nervous, you know. It's just feel pretty, you know, self-aware that, like, you know, if I fall from here, I'm gonna hurt myself. I don't like it. I get a little nervous. I'm not sure how I would act with something like that, because that would appear to be pretty safe. Yeah. Right. Like that they have clearly passed some level of engineering, structural, whatever, to make that safe. Otherwise they, you know, would be sued like crazy because people would just be falling out of these plexiglass enclosures. But I think I could do it. But my question to you is, have you done something like that? And if not, would you step out on that plexiglass enclosure?
Oh, man. You know, so I've been up in the Sears Tower, and yes, I'm going to still call it the Sears Tower, but not since they've done that. So I have been up there, but would I do it? I'm not, like, heights don't bother me that much, but under certain circumstances they would. I feel like I might be doing the thing. Was it Bajent that was kind of like holding the side a little bit?
That might have been Reed, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I can't remember. One of them was doing that. I might be that guy. I have done at Hancock where they have, like, you walk through like a wind tunnel up there. I have done that. That didn't really bother me. But this is, you're right. I mean, this is a whole different ball game, standing on glass 100 stories up. I think I would do it, but it might take a little prompting from me.
Yeah, we watched a video. My wife and I watched a video clip of a guy basically belly crawling to the edge of like this cliff to look at the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh man!
And and I was like, yeah, I get that. Like, I'm not going to stand near the edge of a cliff that if a stiff wind knocks me off balance or something happens, I'm now dead. Like, I mean, there's you know what I mean. Like, that's like very real to me. But again, this is structurally sound enclosure. Like, it's, you know, it's there. I think I probably would. I might feel a little bit of weird with it, but I think I would probably do it. But to me, that was at least somewhat interesting and different. And, you know, they kind of tied it back. We finally got a Ferris Bueller reference. So I was waiting for that
great. As well. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to best soundbite. You said that you didn't have a ton here and you already burned one for the previous category. So did you have another quote or soundbite that you liked?
I did. You know, we already kind of referenced the scene, but it was that scene in the office with Ryan Poles and Ian Wheeler, where he was going through, you know, his speech, and he ended up saying kind of at the end about how my phone's always on. If you want to talk, if you want to cry, I'm here for you. You're part of this team. That's it for me. It hit me in the feels. That was great stuff. And like, when you see Ryan Poles acting like that, and we're all, I think at this point as Bears fans, pretty big fans of Ryan Poles and what he has done for our favorite football team. But when you see the humanity of this guy and, you know, him standing up for this person who may or may not have even made the team. I mean, how can you not feel good that he's the guy in charge of our team? So
yeah,
I got to go with that.
It's a great point, Ryan. And I think that when you think about Ryan Poles and the culture that he's trying to build and the types of individuals that he's bringing in, you know, it really does seem like he's been trying his best to do that legwork. And people are going to point to some of the guys that don't fit that. And I understand that, but those guys don't stick around, right? Like, they figure, like, I'm thinking about Chase Claypool, they bring him in, he's not a fit, you know, and Poles is able to rectify that pretty quickly. Whereas, you know, a lot of the draft picks, you know, where they're able to really dig into these guys' backgrounds, you know, so many team captains, so many just like guys that are like, wow, this guy's, you know, really loves football. He seems to have a good character. You know, you look at Caleb, you look at Rome at the top of the ticket, if you will, for this year's draft. They just have that sort of sense of leadership and community that he's building. And I think that's really good. And you see what he's willing to do for, you know, player 50, player 60, you know, on the roster, wherever he was landing there, because he does believe him and he is investing in him and he wants them to be part of the family. And I think that's really powerful and really good. And it's going to make this team that much easier to cheer for. And so I like that you brought that up. For me, I had a couple written down. I thought another emotional moment I thought was nice. Like, I've learned a lot from you, where Bajent said that to Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams, hey man, I've learned a lot from you. Like, there was just this kind of like respect between the two of them. And Austin Reed, you know, with the coach, Shane Waldron, said, hey, whatever happens, like, really appreciate you investing in me. Like, you know, again, like this kind of recognition of what, where you were at and what's happened here. I thought that was great. I thought the line, the Ferret King getting after it today, in terms of Phaelus Jones, was just like funny. Like, it's just like one of those moments where you're like, what did I just hear? The Ferret King is getting after it today. So it felt like, you know, what was that? The Tiger King? What was that? That whole mess. I don't know. I just thought that was really funny. But my award goes to Jennifer King. She said, high pad level is self-correcting in this league. And I was like, yep, there it is. That's also kind of football guy, but like, I thought it was a great quote. because it felt really real and it was a good teaching moment. And I really liked that, that phrase that she brought out. That was good.
What was the line? It was around that point in the episode early on. I think it was Morton said to Wheeler something about how if he kept standing up so high, he was going to get hit and like everything was going to splatter all over the field. I can't remember
like
how
like a yard sale.
Yeah, that's right. That that was a good line too. That was funny.
I didn't really know what that meant. That I didn't know if that was a football guyism or if that was just a like, what does he mean? Like a yard, like just there's stuff everywhere. Like, is that what?
Yeah. Like his like, helmet's like going to fly off. Yeah. That's kind of how I took guess. It.
Yeah. I wasn't like quite sure what the, you know, sometimes football coaches are really good at mixing metaphors and, you know, kind of blowing an analogy. So I thought maybe that's just what it was, but yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's a phrase.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick. We're going to take a break on the other side of it. We're going to get the rest of the categories and then we are going to wrap it up with who won the episode. Stick with us.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, Ryan. So best football guyism. Again, this is the category that I had so much promise for. And based on my experience of watching Hard Knocks for years and years and years, and as I thought back about it, so often the football guyisms come from the assistant coaches. And we finally got some assistant coach stuff this time. But maybe that's actually not where I'm going. But the, but did you have any football guyism stuff?
Yeah, you know, for me, this was involving one of the star players, which we didn't get much of tonight, as we've been talking about. The whole episode pretty much focused on the bubble players. The little bit of Caleb at the very beginning of the episode, when they were talking with him about clocking the ball and just the detail of don't take any steps back. You don't want to get intentional grounding. And, you know, when Flus first brought it up to him, he's kind of laughing about it. And then Flus, it was like a, kind of almost like an uncomfortable moment. Flus was like, hey, that's just what they told me to tell you, you know, kind of thing. And he's like, yeah, yeah, I know, I know. And then they go to that scene, you know, in headquarters, you know, in the office room where they're looking at the tape. And I think, was it the Raiders and Vikings where this happened at?
Yeah. End of the game.
Right at the end of the game, fourth quarter, just a few seconds. And, the quarterback took a couple of steps back and clocked it. So it was intentional grounding.
The most awkward spike I've ever seen in my life.
So bad. And it's like, that's why we can't do this. You know, I just thought the details of that, cause it's not really something I've ever given much thought to. You just feel like that play is so automatic, but like seeing Caleb learn those details here for the NFL and then him talking to the other quarterbacks about it after that. I mean, I thought that was pretty interesting. So as far as like, football isms and details on the game itself, I'd go with that.
I think that's a great point because I don't know who the Vikings quarterback was that did that.
Yeah.
That was one of the most awkward football plays I've ever seen in my life. And it was, that's amazing. Like it resulted in a 10 second runoff, lost a down, the game's over, right? Like, so you did all that work to get yourself in field goal position. You're trying to just clock the ball with a few seconds left. So the a kick is the last play of the game, you have a chance to win, and you do something like that where you just awkwardly like stand there for a couple seconds and then clock it. Now, I didn't see the play clock on that, so I didn't know if he was trying to like get the clock from like 6 seconds to 3 seconds or something, and he thought he could just kind of stand there a little bit and then clock it. But if you're going to do that, throw it out the back of the end zone, right? So like there's coaching, you know, opportunities and all that kind of stuff. That may not be the biggest, most important coaching point that you'll ever hear or anything like that. But when those things happen in a game, that's exactly how a coach is going to think, like, okay, hey, I got to bring this up because we might be in a situation like this. You never know what a guy's experience has been. And let's make sure that he knows what the NFL rules are. And let's make sure that he knows exactly what to do here and run through those different scenarios. So yeah, that was really good, really interesting stuff. I find that stuff interesting anyway. Like I find that the like minutiae and the details, and that's actually what good coaching is, right? Like you're putting your players in a position to succeed. For me, football guy stuff came from my guy, Juice Herbert, talking to Ian Wheeler. And it was after Dexter knocked him down on a, you know, took him to the ground, knocked him down on a play. And that was, they talked about, hey, pad level, right? And like that led to that. And then the next cut was to Juice Herbert. And he said, hey man, sometimes you just got to find a guy on defense and run him over. And then that's what he did. The next carry, he got an opportunity. He got into the second level and he didn't run him over, but like he put his shoulder down and threw shoulder into one of the defensive backs. Better idea to try to do that to a defensive back than it would be to maybe go after a guy like Dexter again or something like that. But that to me was very, that's either on a football field or it's like a first day in prison, like thing that somebody says, right? Like pick out the biggest guy and go punch him in the face. You know, you would either hear that in a prison movie or you hear that on a football field where it's like, hey man, sometimes you just got to pick a guy and just run him over.
You want to know something funny? That is the second time I've heard that prison metaphor today. How wild is that?
In school.
The first one was school. I was talking with another teacher. I teach school and we were talking about how our classes were and everything. And I was talking about the first day and how I had kind of a wild class and I had to kind of lay down the law on the first day of school. And my buddy was like, yeah, you know, it's like when you go to prison, right? You got to let them know that you're not going to lay down for them. I was like, yeah, there it is again. Second time today. But that's exactly right. It was kind of like the old, you know, the Walter Payton play, not run out of bounds, hit them instead. It's kind of what he did.
Yeah, you got to take it to him. The only other thing I had written down, I'm seeing in my notes now that I want to at least mention it, but I think it was Flus said that Austin Reed looks a little bit like Peyton Manning. I don't know the context, but they were just kind of, you know, like, oh, look at him. He's like in control or whatever it was. It looks like Peyton Manning out there. And Caleb says, yeah, with those big arm sleeves, which you'd have to like be around the game and really know that like Manning never wore the like the tailored close arm sleeve on his jersey. He always had like the big old school arm on his jersey. And I thought that was funny. Some quarterbacks do that because they have, you know, they want the range of motion. But you have to like kind of be around the game and know that little detail. And I love that Caleb did know that. And I also kind of am curious if Caleb has any connection with his number choice and Manning, because there's not a lot of like great quarterbacks in the history of the game that wore 18. Manning being kind of the one guy. And so I'm curious. I know there's another couple, but like he's like the big one.
Modern, yeah.
And so I'm just kind of curious if he had anything, you know, in his number choice when he was young with Peyton Manning, because that would have been certainly somebody who would have been one of the best quarterbacks at the time when he was in high school picking 18 for the first time. So,
yeah.
Let's move on to who won the episode. I am fascinated to hear your opinion on the all underdog episode of who won the episode.
Well, I think for me, it's either Wheeler or Poles. I've kind of been going back and forth as we've been talking in my mind, thinking what I would go with here. Because like I talked about before with Poles, it's just that you feel so proud that he's the GM and the way that he handled that situation and what we saw in his office. And then also just, you know, everything he's done with the roster. We saw the details in this episode of him trying to get to the 53 man, you know, like early in the episode. It's him and Cunningham kind of going back and forth on the players. And you saw him looking at the chart on the wall there at Hallis Hall and everything. But man, I really feel like when it comes down to it, for most people who watch, especially people that aren't familiar with the Bears, I think everybody probably comes away from this episode rooting for Ian Wheeler. And, you know, they're probably Googling right now or on Twitter or whatever, what happened with his surgery? Has he had the surgery? You know, and what the details are going to be on him moving forward. So I think he's the biggest takeaway probably for the average person who tuned in tonight on HBO. So, and I mean, look, he's a fringe player on the roster, no question about it. But like, I think even most Bears fans are going to be kind of paying attention, you know, to him and, you know, his progress in coming back from this injury going into next year and everything. And, you know, if he's able to recover and successfully come to training camp next year and get into some preseason games again, it's going to be a pretty big story for like Bears fans. Certainly more so than if Hard Knocks wasn't around this year. I mean, people would still be talking about it, but the fact that we've gotten to know him so much on these episodes, you know, we saw the scenes with his mom, which were super emotional here, you know, at Arrowhead after the game and everything, that now I think people are going to feel like they have that emotional bond to him. And they're way more connected to a guy who most seasons, like, you might know a little bit about him. Oh, that sucks. ACL, moving on. But now we've had the show and we've had the cameras following him around. And now people are going to be way more attached. And he's just going to be more of a name for Bears fans. So I think to me, yeah, he's the big takeaway. I think he won the episode tonight.
Yeah, surprise, these people are human beings and, you know, have dreams and have put the rest of their life on hold to try to chase these dreams. And then something like this happens again, right at the cusp here. So I think that's, you know, I had a hard time saying that he would win the episode because of what happened to him. So I like your argument. It's a very good argument. And so I appreciate you making it. I had Velus question mark because he, you know, took the opportunity. You know, we know that he did make the roster. We know that he has shown a little bit of that personality. He has entered that running backs room and seemed to really, you know, gelled and taken to the coaching. But for me, I like to maybe go in a different direction than, you know, last week was the obvious winner, but I maybe go in a little different direction. To me, it's, I'm going to share it with two people. It's the running back coaches. It is Chad Morton, the running back coach, and the assistant running back coach, Jennifer King. I was so impressed with how they presented both of them. And I think they make a really good pairing. You've got, you know, the type A personality that they said, but kind of the hard ass, you know, coach and Chad Morton, who's really riding them and drilling them and really, you know, not accepting things. And just like, total position coach, right? Like total position coach of like just really hard on him, saying things that, you know, a head coach isn't going to say, right? Like this is the things that you hear from a position coach. This is what I find very fascinating and interesting on Hard Knocks, is because this is very coachy to me. But then you actually saw Jennifer King kind of come back through and give more of a soft approach, you know, hey, like this is what we mean. And Wheeler was breaking that down, the difference between the two, and okay, you know, I get kind of the hard coaching, and then she'll come up and kind of say, hey, you have any questions? And she'll break it down a little bit. And I liked that back and forth. And I think you see that probably a lot more than you'd expect when you have those rooms with, you know, a coach and an assistant coach and someone who, you know, maybe does need to be balanced out, but they're also kind of playing a role. Right. They're also kind of playing a role there. And I think they were playing it well. And they got highlighted for a reason. You got two guys in this episode that are trying to make this roster and maybe competing for one roster spot. And, you know, these coaches are very interesting. So to me, they won the episode. They came off well. And I was really happy that they focused on them.
I like that pick too. Yeah, they really shined in this episode. I like that you called out the scene where they were talking about how, yeah, you know, he's so hard on him, but then he goes to Jennifer and she tells him what he really means, what Chad Morton really means. That was cool. But also just how they responded to the injury, you know, like after he went out, you know, this has kind of been the story of the season, is how hard Morton is on Wheeler. It's like every episode he's really getting after him. And then, you know, after he leaves the field and everything, they were still out on the field during the game. They're like, yeah, man, I'm so angry right now, you know, and then you got to see again, surprise, they're human, that how connected they felt to him and trying to bring him along and get him to a point where, you know, he makes the roster. And then the last preseason game, this disastrous injury happens. And so, I like that pick. Nice pick.
All right. So what did we miss? So anything in your notes? I have three things that I want to make sure we talk about. They kicked off the episode. You mentioned it. Polls, you know, talking about going from 90 to 53. That's going to be episode 5. Like, that's all we're going to get is, you know, the exit interviews and kind of how they shape the roster. I am positive that Polls is going to be the guy next episode that we're going to follow more than anybody. Maybe we get more Kevin Warren talking about seats and luxury suites or something. But for the most part, I think it's going to be a Polls episode. Polls did ask the question about the painted lines in the back of the end zone for Rome. Like, they talked about, you know, he needs to be more aware. He needs to be where he's at. You know, that's kind of on him. And Polls is like, did you notice something with those lines? Because what do you mean the lines, the paint? And, you know, that was like the big thing on Twitter. We were all talking about how, you know, they had the lines painted differently. It was basically a double outline. They didn't fill it in, and how that may have impacted him. You know, Rome did say, yeah, it kind of messed me up, but, like, you know, I need to do better. But Polls was on it. He's like, no. Yeah. Like, I think that's what caused it.
Yeah. I mean, in your periphery vision, you know, right. To the side, I could definitely see how that screwed him up for sure. Yeah. That was interesting. He called that out, 'cause he, like, repeated himself when he said that. Yeah. You're right. He's like, no, the paint, did you notice the paint? Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. And then I have two more, but do you have anything else?
I do. The one I want to call out first was when they went to the O-line room, because we haven't seen much of the offensive line, and this was just hilarious how they talked about how Theo Benedett had been sent to the store by Ryan Bates, and he asked him to get dude wipes, and they show the shelf and he got Clorox wipes instead. And it was kind of like, I'll let you use that one first. Kind of let me know how it goes kind of thing. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Were you from, is the concept of a dude wipe something that you were familiar with before this episode?
I was. You can see I've got, you know, some wrestling paraphernalia.
Oh yeah, you've got wrestling stuff. You've got a wrestling
behind me.
Podcast.
Yeah. And they Dude Wipes sponsored a WWE show recently, so I was very familiar, because they had like Dude Wipes ads on the ribbon board in the arena, and it was very distracting and looked very low rent, I thought.
It's a very interesting moment, yes. But yeah, no, yeah. Clorox cleaning wipes are not a one for one. That is not a good trade there.
Not a good idea.
He was very embarrassed. Like, he wasn't really laughing about it. He was like, oh, come on, you know. But yeah, that was a good one. Anything else?
Yeah, so there was that one. I kind of talked about it earlier, but when John Jackson and Dunze went to the grocery store to get snacks for the team, you know, that was kind of an interesting scene.
Okay, so this is one of mine. So yeah, they're walking around the store. You know, I think some people are like, we don't really need to see Rome walking around the store smelling candles. But my question to you, like, this is happens around all the rookies get sent to go get snacks. Like, this is a thing that rookies go do. They go and they come back. And I don't know if you watch the Netflix show, The Receiver. And I think it was Justin Jefferson was showing his, like, snack cabinet. And it was all of these treats, like the amount of sugar in these guys' houses. It was just unreal. Like, these are professional athletes and there's just tons of sugar. I'm looking at this going, how is this possible? And then you think about, like, Marshawn Lynch eating Skittles on the sidelines. Like, I mean, I guess it's a thing. It's
different,
it's
sport, but Derrick Rose famously was like huge sweet tooth. Yeah.
So my question to you is, you're a veteran on this team and you're sending a rookie out to get snacks. What's your order?
As far as candy bars go, Reese's Fast Break is my deal. I love Reese's Fast Break. But as far as, like, bagged candy goes, those Nerd Cluster things, those new ones, are just ridiculously addicting. I'll go with the Nerds Clusters, the gummy Nerds things. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't. But
it's like a, it's, I mean, like
a Nerds bar.
Yeah, it's like these gummies, but they're, like, coated in Nerds. They're really, I think they're called Nerds Clusters. I'm going to Google it. But yeah, they are really good. I'm going to Google this, but what would you pick?
So I gave up sugar a couple years ago when I turned 40. I needed to change a lot of things in my diet and life and everything. So I really don't eat added sugar anymore. But back in the day, I could put down my fair share of a lot of things. So in this situation, I mean, there would definitely need to be some sort of chocolate peanut butter or something. So, you know, honestly, like the mega cup from mm-hmm. Reese's sounds fine to me, or just a regular cup or a king size cup, like, you know, something in the Reese's family I would need to have. I've never been a huge fan of just like the, you know, fruit flavored sugar type products. So I would definitely go more on the candy bar side, but yeah, I haven't had any of that stuff in a long time and I don't miss most of it. But yeah, every once in a while I look at a Reese's and I go, oh, that's something.
Yeah. It is Nerds gummy clusters. I'm telling you, man, they are off the charts. It's really good. So I would go with that.
Okay. Anything final? Oh, I have one more thing, but do you have anything else?
Yeah. So I heard you guys talk about this last week. But you know, once again, Travis Bagent got a lot of screen time with the guys outing in Kansas City, and he was doing an arm wrestling tournament. You know, we saw him screaming in the stands once again, and it was really funny because my wife watched the episode with me. She's watched all of them with me, and you know, she's somewhat familiar with the Bears. And she had seen, like, last year when he played, they featured him all the time, his dad on TV then too, and you know, the arm wrestling history and everything. So when she had to like leave the room, go check on one of our kids, and she came back in when he was on the screen and it was the bar in Kansas City, and her first words were, "Oh, this guy again." And it's just kind of like, I've kind of had my fill. I agree with you guys last week on Tyson Bagent's dad. I probably didn't need any more footage there. What are your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Well, I mean, that, yeah, again, Matt last week, my best friend, was like, "Oh, I need more." And I got a text from him, you know, at the end of the episode. And he's like, "Hey, at least I got more of my, you know, Bagent arm wrestling stuff." And I was like, "Yeah, that's all you, man. Like, that, I'm done. Like, I've had enough." That was the last thing I had. And I was going to ask you. So it was maybe a little bit artistic. It was certainly purposeful in how they presented this machismo, arm wrestling, yelling, you know, I mean, it was all very, you know, collegial, right? Like they were hugging afterwards, everybody's smiling. Like it's, you know, it's good, you know, sportsmanship stuff. I'm not trying to insinuate otherwise, but you know, there's a lot of like, you know, flexing and big muscle stuff. And then they would cut to Adrian Colbert, and he's, you know, got crystals and he's got sound bowls and, you know, and then they cut back to the arm wrestling, and then they cut to Adrian Colbert talking about centering himself and finding, you know, space, and then mm-hmm. going back to this, you know, there's back and forth. There was just kind of this juxtaposition that they were trying to push, you know, a little bit there, you know, pretty heavy handed, I guess. My question for you is, you've got to hang with Tyson Bagent's dad or Adrian Colbert for the night. Who are you riding with?
I guess to go against what I just said, I'm probably going with Tyson Bagent's dad, just because, you know, I like a good beer too. And I feel like it would be a pretty fun night.
He's definitely going to the wrestling. Like, you know,
you're right.
He's like, "Hey, let's roll, you know, Monday Night Raw or whatever's popular these days, you know, it's 2 hours away. Let's get in the car. Let's go, you know, let's grab a case and let's do this thing." Right. Like that's totally him.
I could probably get backstage with him. Like, yeah, he works for you don't know, this guy's a wrestler. We're coming backstage.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Oh, he probably passed it. I'm the opposite way. Like I don't necessarily need to learn about the crystals and everything, but I think that he seems like an interesting guy, and I'd love to have a conversation with him. And I'm hanging with Colbert. Hopefully he's like, likes a bourbon and we can do that or something, but yeah, Bagent's dad is too much for me. Like that is not a match that I could survive for more than 15 minutes.
Now I want to be clear. I'm saying for one night. He's not a guy
I would for one night. That's what I'm saying. But no, I'm not hanging out with him.
No, I wouldn't want to make a routine out of it. I definitely not. But for one night, it'd probably be a blast. If I wanted to hang out with one of them more than once, I'm probably going your way then.
Yeah, you'd have a story.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Like that's, you know, that's the kind of thing you do for the story more than anything. That's what I got. Sounds like a good place to stop. We've decided we're going to part separate ways, and I'm going to go hang out with Adrian Colbert. You're going to go hang out with Tyson Bagent's dad. The next opportunity that comes up with. We've got some fun stuff coming up for you next week. We're gonna end this show. I'm pretty sure that I have a commitment from our old friend Robert Schmitz to come on this show. We'll wrap up Hard Knocks. We'll kind of give a preview. So look forward to that. And then we're going to start our regular season schedule, and Ryan's going to play a role in that. And we're really excited to bring him on board. And so where can people find you on the Twitter machine and anything else you got going on?
Yeah, find me at Ryan Droste. That is Droste on Twitter, Instagram as well. The wrestling podcast I host is Top Rope Nation. So if you like pro wrestling, check that out. We do episodes every single week, right on Windy City Gridiron, of course. And then I do some stuff with Bleacher Report as well. You can find me on bleacherreport.com and on their BR app. Usually after big time wrestling events, like there was one with AEW last weekend. There's one with WWE this weekend. I do a lot of the post shows for Bleacher Report. So you can, the easiest way is on the BR app. You can usually find me on there doing that as well. But yeah, as you said, ramping up the Bears content as we get to the regular season here. So really looking forward to being here on this channel a little bit more moving forward.
Exciting stuff. We'll get more Bears stuff for your background. I see a Bronco Nagurski bobblehead, Walter Payton bobblehead, maybe a Walter Payton Funko well. But otherwise, we need to get the balance to be a little bit more Bears and less wrestling stuff. So
I think I'm going to... this cabinet right here where I've got the where am I at here, this championship replica belt up there, I'm going to move that down and I'm going to make that shelf all Bears. I got some other stuff elsewhere in the office that I'll set up there for the next Bears project. So
I love it. All right, well, stick with us, guys. Thanks for tuning in to the All Underdog episode 4, and we'll see you next time. Until then, bear down.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.